So we're here on Daf Lamed Omid Beis, and we're talking about a situation, looking for a situation of Kimblei B'Derabba Binei. So Rav Ashi Omar in the last line, Bizar She'ochal Truma Mishalo. So Reuven's a Zar, he's not a Kohen, and he's Mafrish Truma, and he eats his own Truma. So what does this mean, if he ate his own truma? Now, first of all, how could he own the truma? The answer is that he inherited this truma from his maternal father, and now he eats the truma. So at this point, is there any payment? It's his own truma, so he doesn't owe anybody money. He can take money from one pocket, put it in the other pocket. But the Gemara says on the top of Daf Lamed Aleph, "V'kara shirayim shel chavero." At that very split second that he was eating the truma, let's say swallowing the truma, he was also mazik his friend, and he has to pay damages of tashlumei nezek. But the answer is kimlev deramine, because he's chayav misa b'dei shamayim for eating truma. So you have here an overlap of a Zar Shochal Truma and a Chiyuv Misa B'Dei Shamayim with a Chiyuv Mamon. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'kara Shirayim B'Shoshe Bol'a, because at that moment he's Chayiv for Zoros. Frekt Rashi, I'm a Kasha. V'yafal Gav, D'Misa Lav Mishum Mamona D'Nizak Asilei. Even though the Chiyuv Misa is not because of the moment of somebody else, meaning if a person eats the truma that belongs to a Kohen, let's take the classic case where he was Mafresh Truma and he already delivered it to the Kohen, and after the Kohen was Zochen the truma, he went ahead and he's a Zar and he eats the truma, so he's Chayav to the Kohen for the same reason that he's Chayav for violating the Iser Zoros. He ate so-and-so's truma. But in this case, where it's his own truma, as far as the Chiyuv Mamon is concerned, there's no Chiyuv Mamon to himself for eating his own truma. There can only be a Chiyuv Mamon because at the moment that he ate the truma, he was Kori Shirayim Shel Chavera. And Rashi's assuming, we'll try to analyze why, that if the Misa has nothing to do with the Mamon, and there just happens to be a coincidence of two events that took place simultaneously, and one in with regard to one event he's got Misa, and the other event he's a Mazik to someone else, is we shouldn't apply Kimlev the Ramine. You know, there's no reason why the owner of the Shirayim should lose out because at that moment he happens to be eating Truma, swallowing Truma. Mifta. Ravashi holds that nevertheless Kimlev the Ramine. So according to Ravashi, any overlap of two chiyuvim, one is a chiyuv misa, the other is a chiyuv mamon, even though the chiyuv mamon has nothing to do with the chiyuv misa, he wasn't eating Yenim's truma, for which he's chayv to replace his truma in dini mamonos. No, he was eating his own truma. We still are going to apply kimlev neram. Then Rashi adds another point. Usvir le Rav Ashi, misa lazeh, v'tashlumen lazeh, potu. That if you chayv misa for eating truma, and at the same time you incur a chiyuv nezek to pay for someone else, for someone else's property that you destroy, which is called tashlum lezeh, pata means kimlev deRabbi. Now, where did Rashi get this language from? Misa lezeh v'tashlum lezeh. So, for this Rabosai, we'd have to open up a Gemara in Sanhedrin. And I'm learning this Gemara now, trying to figure it out in my morning class at 8:30. The Gemara says the following, that if you have Edim Zomimim, who, right, in Kasha Zomim, we always analyze what was the goal, so to speak, of these Edim, what did they expect to achieve through their Edus, and now that we find them to be Zomim, they're going to have to suffer that same punishment. So the case is where they testified against a girl that she had znus during her erusin period, and she's chayav misa for that bia znus. They're also testifying on behalf of the Baal that he is mafsid haliksuba. In other words, if she had this nus, then he claims that he's not going to pay the ksuba, which is a valid claim. And the Edom now testify on behalf of the Baal in a two-pronged attack. They testify on behalf of the Baal that she is chayevis misa, and exactly what he claimed. And secondly, that haksuba is worthless. So in that case, the Gemara applies Kim Levi the Rabbi.
What do you say
to
that?
What do you say?
Well, what did they get even for the second inquiry? They already gave it to them that she's mafsid the ksuba.
No, again, we're always asking what would be the repercussions or the impact of the Edom? Right, because the Edom are trying to cause a loss in many different ways at the same time. Correct? So in this case, where they testify on behalf of the Baal to support his claim that he found her to be a Ba'ula, their testimony has a double impact. On the one hand, it means that she's chayevis misa for that snus. On the other hand, it means that she loses her ksuba. Now the Edom turn out to be false Edom. So the Gemara wants to know, what do we do to these Edom under the law of Kasha Zaman? Do we apply both misa and tashlumin, or misa knocks off tashlumin, and therefore they don't have to pay for the ksuba? By the way, Rashi, which is a whole different discussion, Rashi points out that the ksuba is not worth Masayim Zuz, because a ksuba is an iffy kind of situation, but you could sell it on the market for lama zogin 100 zuz, 150 zuz, whatever the buyer is willing to pay. So the Gemara in this case applies the principle of kim lev d'rabbi. Now what happens is that how do we find out that these... All right, so Kim lived around. I mean, therefore, the Edom get put to death because they tried to kill the Isha, correct? This woman who supposedly had this news. And as far as the fact that they wanted to be mafsid ha-diksuba, we don't apply v'asisim lo kashazom because we have a principle called Kim lived around. Right? It's not chayv misin pay and pay.
That's a consequence. That's not what we wanted to do. That happens in the Mela.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm
saying. Their testimony was that she was Mazana.
Right.
Again,
in Kasha Zama, we always look at the entire picture. You know, what would have been the result at the end, the consequences, that's a good word, the consequences of their Edus. Okay. So the Gemara says there's a steer here between Kasha Zama and Kim Lev Ramine. So Kim Lev Ramine wins out. And instead of doing the full Kasha Zaman, which means whatever repercussions and consequences there are to the Edus, we're going to limit it to the Chiyuv Misa, and we're going to exempt them from paying for the loss of the Ksuba, and that's because of Kim Lev D'Rabbi. That's round number one. Now, let's just ask the technical question. How did these Edim, which the Baal brought in to testify that she had this news, how did they become Zomimim? So the answer is that the father brought these Edim into Beis Din to be Mazim, the first pair of Edim. And they testified that you couldn't have been there at such and such a place, such and such a time, to testify that she had his news because you were with us at that time elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Fine. So the Torah says we believe the father's Edom and not the Baal's Edom because that's the parasha of Hazoma. The Torah says that we believe the Mazimim and not the Zom. Now the Gemara goes on and introduces a third set of Edom. That third set of Edom says to the Edei Ha'av, which is the second set of Edom, that you couldn't have possibly been with the first pair of Edom where you claim at that time, because you were with us elsewhere in a far off place. So now the Kasha Zama applies to the Edei Ha'av. So now we have to analyze what did the Edei Ha'av want to accomplish? What were the consequences of the Edus of the Av? And therefore the Kasha Zama. So number one, they wanted to put the Edei Ha'baal to death under the law of Hazama. And number two, they wanted to support the claim of the father that his son-in-law, not such a great son-in-law, was Motzi Shemra, and hence he has to pay Mea Sloan, a massive amount of knas. So now the question is, when we were mazim the Edei Ha'av, what should be the kasha zaman here? Obviously, unquestionably, we're going to put the Eidei Av to death because they tried to kill the Eidei Abal. But we also extract from them a knas of Meir Sloim because they tried to support the claim of the father, and they testify on his behalf that the Eidei Abal were Eidim Zomim. That automatically generates a knas. So that now they want to now. So who's going to pay the knas? The Baal is going to pay the knas. Now what we have here is a very interesting case, because when we think of Kasha Zomim with regard to the Eidei Av, the Eidei Av had a double entendre here. Tarte l'reis. So they on the one hand wanted to put the Eidei Abal to death, and at the same time, they want to impose a chiv knas on the Baal. Now, based on the principle that we applied before in the case where the Eidei Abal became Zomimim, and we said that the Eidei Abal will be put to death for trying to kill her, but they won't be chayav to pay the ksuba, which they were mafsid for. Again, according to their Eidus, they were mafsid on the ksuba because kim levi the rabbine. So now we should apply the principle of Kimlei Rabbi again in the case where the Eidei Av became Zomimim. We're going to put the Eidei Av to death because they tried to put the Eidei Abal to death. And as far as the Knas is concerned, we're going to impose a Knas on these Eidim because they tried to make the Baal pay up the Knas. So the Gemara says, nay. The Gemara says that in this case, the Eidei Ha'av will get a double punishment. Number one, they'll be put to death for trying to put to death the Eidim of the Baal. And number two, since they tried to get the Baal to pay the Knas, they will pay the Baal a Knas. And the Gemara says, why? What happened to Kim Levi the Ramine? And the Gemara answers, it's Mamon Lezen and Fashis Lezen. That the Mamon is being paid to the Baal because they were trying to be master the Baal Mea So. And the Nefashos is Lezez to the Eidim of the Baal, because they tried to kill the Eidim of the Baal. So Rashi now is very bothered. A man eats truma, and while he's eating the truma, he's a zar, he rips his friend Shirayim. And the Gemara says, in the name of Ashi, that he doesn't have to pay his friend for the Shirayim. What happened to the principle of Mamon Lezeh, Nefashis Lezeh? That if basically there are two victims here, so to speak, and one of them is Mamon Lezeh, I mean, what does he have to do with Nefashis Lezeh? And the Gemara says in Masechta Ksubot, in Masechta Sanhedrin, that Mamon Lezeh, the Nefashis Lezeh, there's no tour of Kim Lev the Ramina. He's going to have to pay the Mamon. And yet our Gemara here is of the opinion that he doesn't have to pay the Baal Shirayim. You know, just I say this in Balabatish terms just as a mnemonic device to help remember. Just, it makes sense. The Baal Shirayim says, look, you violated the Issa Truma, so therefore I have to take a loss of my Shirayim. What's the Shaykhus? Because of my Shirayim, that you're going to get off the hook for ripping my Shirayim, because at the same time that you rip my Shirayim, you're eating Truma. Go fly a kite. So that if we apply that principle, again, I'm just using it as a mnemonic device of Mamon Lezeh and Nefashis Lezeh. So let's apply it in the case of the Eidei Abal. The Baal is set to lose. I'm sorry, the Eidei Av. I meant to say. The Baal is set to lose by virtue of this Eidus 100 selah, a massive knas. Okay, so the Eidim are chayav misa because what they wanted to mete out to the other Eidim, like in Kasha Zoma. But why should the Baal be excluded from his knas that he had to pay? Yeah. So the Gemara says, Eino Chinami. The Eidim will have to pay the Baal the knas. Why? Because his mamon Lezeh Nefashis Lezeh. But yet here, in our case of Ravashi, we're not applying the principle of mamon Lezeh Nefashis Lezeh. The Baal HaShirayim is going to be up the creek without a paddle. He cannot collect his loss to compensate him for the loss of his Shirayim. And the reason for that is because at the moment that this guy who should be tarred and feathered, was Koreh Shirayim. He was eating truma. He was preoccupied with eating truma. And Rav Ashi says that that is the case of Kim Lev the Rabbim. So Rashi says, Usvir le Rav Ashi, Misal Ezev Tashlum Ezev Potter. Potter means Kim Lev the Rabbim. So Rashi says that according to Rav Ashi, even in the case of Misal Ezev Tashlum Ezev, you're Potter, Midin Kim Lev the Rabbim. Meaning, basically, Rashi has a steer between Rav Ashi here in Masechta Ksubis, and if I'm not mistaken, it's Rav Yosef. I have to double check. Anyone have a Gemara Sanhedrin here? I don't want to get the name. It's a little embarrassing if I get the names mixed up. I think it's Rav Yosef.
There's no tushka between the two cases.
Just one second.
It's the people behind you.
Oh, this is Sanhedrin?
I don't know.
Excellent. This is Sanhedrin. But let me just for the sake of accuracy, it's sort of... just want to get the names right. Yeah, Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef here in Masechta Sanhedrin says that in a case of Misal Ezer, Umam Ezer, we don't apply Kimle Ramine, so that the Eidei Av will both get Misa for what they wanted to meet out to the Eidei Baal, and at the same time they have to pay the Baal Knas of Me'asah because they wanted to be Mafsid the Baal Me'asah under the law of Motzi Shemra. So Rashi asks the following question. Again, you could reject Rashi if you like, but right now I want to understand Rashi. That's the way I was brought up. I'm sorry. I feel a little sensitive about that. But again, you want to reject Rashi. I'll listen to what you say. But first, I want to understand Rashi. So Rashi says the following: that Rav Ashi here, who applies Kim Levi the Ramine in a case of Ha'ochel Truma, gets Truma's Atzmo. And he was Koreh Shirayim Shel Chavero. He's Potter, and the Baal Shirayim is has no recourse to get paid to get compensated. That Rav Ashi is undermining the principle of Rav Yosef, which is called Mamon Lezeh Unefashis Lezeh, which means that he pays Mamon to him and he gets Nefashis. And he gets Misa for him. In other words, we don't apply the principle of Kimlev the Ramine. So Rav Ashi, by applying the principle of Kimlev the Ramine in the case of Ochel Truma Vakar Shirayim Shel Chavero, is rejecting the principle of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef insists that we don't apply Kimlev the Ramine. We can impose a double punishment, Misa and Mamon, in the case where the Misa is Lezeh and the Mamon is Lezeh. The Misa is because what you wanted to do to the Eidei Baal, which is basically like, you know, it's like a murder case. Again, you and I, no, it's not a murder case because the Eidei Baal is still alive and well. But in the context of Kashrus Zomam, we imagine that the Eidim Ki'ilu had, you know, in a theoretical world, had achieved their purpose, right? They had implemented exactly what was inherent in their Eidim, and that is that we would put the Eidei Baal to death. So that's a murder crime. So now, because you murdered these Eidim again. In quotation marks, right? Now you're going to tell me, says Rav Yosef, that you don't have to pay the Baal for what you virtually made the Baal pay 100 saw. Pay him back for that.
To lose, not to pay.
Well, I don't know what you mean by lose. I mean, if you pay, you lose, you know. But he has to write out a check for Me'a saw. You know, that's a loss. You know,
that Aegis to the Baal is not Al Zagarin.
I'm not sure what you mean by Zomim, but again, the Eidei Av said two things. Yeah. They said, number one, this whole story is a libel. It's a slander. It's a motzi shemra. And you, Mr. Baal, because he's the one who started and initiated this whole process. You should be tarred and feathered. So the Torah says, instead of tarred and feathered, you write a check for Me'asah. And that's what the Eidei Av were testifying. And at the same time, the Eidei Av was saying to the Eidei Baal that you were with us in a different place, and therefore you have to get killed. Now we have to kill the Eidei Av. But therefore, says Rav Yosef, the Baal has no recourse to collect to get reimbursed. Again, when I say reimbursed, I'm, you always have to put the inverted commas there. To get reimbursed for the Me'asah, Well, why not? He should get reimbursed. Says Rabbi Yosef, then we can impose both punishments. The nefashas lezeh, for what they wanted to mete out to the Edom, meaning they did Baal, and the mamon lezeh, what they wanted to mete out to the Baal himself, they're two different entities here. One entity is nothing to do with the other. This is not the same as the case where there was Hazom and the Edi Baal. In the case with the Azoma Zedi Abal, what the Baal wanted to accomplish is two things against one victim,
right,
and that's the Isha. And that's what we can apply the principle of Kimle and Rami in it. But says Rav Yosef, if there are two different victims here that are both going to suffer as a result of one Edus, then we're not going to apply Kimle and Rami in it. That's like a coincidental overlap, and coincidental overlap, we're not going to apply the principle of Kibbutz Rabbin. If you wanted to do to somebody two different things, you wanted to put them to death and make them pay mamon, or in the case of the Ksuba, to lose on mamon, because again, the Ksuba is worth something. So it's basically like the Edi Abal, burnt up the Ksuba for all intents and purposes. And again, that never actually happened, but in Kashazon terms, it happened. Then we're going to let you off the hook because what you wanted to do to this woman is to put her to death for the znus, and now we're going to put you to death under the law of Kashazon. And now that victim who wants to claim some sort of payment, again, she'll have to bequeath it to her yorshim because she's going to be put to death, right? In the theoretical sense. Well, that claim is going to fall by the wayside because we're going to put these Edom to death. That I understand. That's Kimlev the Rami name. But now you want to apply Kimle Ramine to the case of the Edi Av, where they tried to do two things to two different victims, you know, to one victim meaning the first pair of Edom, they wanted to put them to death under the law of Kashazom, and to the Baal to make him write out a check for Mea Sa'im. Well, we're not going to apply Kimle Ramine to an overlap of two victims. You know, why shouldn't the Baal be paid back? And Rashi points out that if you take that logic of Rav Yosef and you apply it here to Rav Ashi, then you come to the conclusion that there's no reason why the owner of the Shiraim should be at loss to get compensated, simply because at that moment he happened to be Chayav Misa for Zoros. So Rashi says that Rav Ashi has the most all-encompassing definition of Kimlev and Ramineh, not like Rav Yosef. And any coincidence of two chiyuvim at the same moment, as long as they're synchronized and it's be'idna, we apply the principle of Kimlev and Ramineh. So Rashi simply says that there's a stira between Rav Yosef and Rav Ashi, and mishtapinish, you don't have to die from the stira. You know, each one goes his own way. And it's a machlokas between two sukkahs. I mean, it would have been nice had the Gemara here quoted Rav Yosef, but that didn't happen. So also, what we want to do for today is to take a look at Tosfos. And then we'll see you have the new photocopies, John, yeah?
They're here.
Oh, great, excellent. So if anybody likes to see the text, that's very good. I always like to see the text. Pirush HaKudshus, you have this? This is on Daf Lamed Omid Beis. Everything okay?
Yeah, table a little bit better.
Yeah.
This part
you may have to pay the table.
That's right.
No, we're not ready for those pages yet, so Rabosa, if you could just forget about the pages right now. Let's not take a... Let's just look into Tosfos, yeah?
Okay.
It's the last four lines on Daf Lamed Omid Beis in Tosfos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. You found it. Rav Ashi Omer Bizar Shalpal Truvi Shalom Bekar Shirayim Pirush HaKudshus. The Sfir Leila Rav Ashi the Misal Azev Tashlum Lazer Potter. Potter means Kimlei the Ram. Upolig Adarava. Sure why he says Rav. I just looked it up and I saw it was Rav Yosef. Now I'm getting a little bit nervous here. Rav, why is he quoting Rav here? I'm not sure. Do me a favor. Since your name is Yosef, I claim it's Rav Yosef. Rash Etosis is quoting Rav. Let me just, again, I know this is very insignificant, but I just want to get this down straight. Like who are we talking about here? You know, in Girsa, sometimes the Masifta will give you if there's any Like it changes Buddhist that I should know.
Rabba here, Rabba
yeah, no, that's about Palgini di Buddha, yes. No?
Right.
That's Pony Ravani Latoni. Yeah. That's nothing to do with. But the main sugi is here. And that's Rabbi Yosef. Just 1 second. Just give me a split second. I just want to make sure that it's. I have it in the name of Rabbi Yosef. He quotes it as Rav. Just 1 second. Where is it? Pirsha Kunchis, here it is. Upoliga de Rava. He also has Poliga de Rava. Upoliga de Rava. Okay. I have to check into this because I have it as Rav Yosef. He has it as Rava. Anyway, so he says the following. The Omer Perikam in the Sanhedrin Ploni Bo Albas Ploni. So now we're talking about the Eidei Abal. Very good. Behuzmu, which means that the Av brought in 2 Eidim to be mazim them, is Nerogim Meshalmim Mama. Oh, 1 second, I'm sorry. Now I'm beginning to see where my mistake is. Just 1 second. Ploni Balbas Ploni the Huzmu.
That's the first year.
Yeah, I was quoting Rabbi Yosef, who says that the Potiphar makes soup, right? So there must be a rubber later on.
No.
Just give me 5 seconds here, 1 second. Rabbi Yosef. Hevi bal eidim shizinsu vehevi av eidim vizuv lehebal eidi abal nerog the eino mishalman. That's why he's not quoting Rav Yosef here, because Rav Yosef says eino mishalman. So where is Rava? What daf does he tell you to look on? Oh, daf yud. Oh, okay. See, I didn't get to daf yud here. That's why I plead the fifth over here. Apparently, Rava is going to disagree on daf yud. And where is this? Just Amar Rava. No, that's not it. It's yeah. That's not the one. Again, that's Ploni Ravani. What is it? Yudom and Aleph. It says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, here. Ploni ba al nara hamu rasa. The Huzmu Nerogim, the Aim Mishalmim Mamon. Oh, now I got it. Bito Shel Ploni.
It's not the text, is it?
Oh, Bito Shel Ploni, the Huzmu Nerogim. Oh, yeah, also. Yeah, Bito Shel Ploni, the Huzmu, is Nerogim Umishalmim Mamon. In other words, we don't apply kimleiv nerav mine. And what is this moment? This is going to be the moment of ksuba, I guess. Let's just see. Oh, Rashi says shabola hafsi ksubasim in a erisim. Okay. Umeshalmim tobas hanos ksubinos. Whatever the ksuba is worth on the market, that's called tobas hanos. Kibin calls on me ksuba. Velo pligi derava ad rav Yosef, the only el, evi abal nerogim. The aim is Shalmon, the Hussam came in the Nisays, Hanat Tashlumin, Diksuva, Dida, Dida, Didabo, Mehevi, I know what Mehevi means here, the came of the Allah, Mikhtale, Lomishavale Momin, Mohecha Shalom Nisays, the Hazama, the is therefore the ksuba is owned by the father. Okay, so I see what's going on here. This sugya daf yud, I was not aware of. So the sugya that I told you about is on daf tes. That's the sugya of Rav Yosef, and that's a case of erisin. I'll explain. The sugya of Rava, which is on daf yud, that's a case of nesuin. So that Rava is not going to apply the principle of Kimleib Nerabine, because once she is a Nesua, then the father gets the ksuba. Not just the exact opposite. Just one second. I'm sorry. The mathematics I got messed up. So again, Rashi is saying the following: that the case on Daf Tes on the base of Rabbi Yosef, there the ksuba goes to her. Just one second. The husband came in this say sanatash. Oh, sorry. Exact opposite. So again, on Daf Tes on the base, she's in a sewer. And if she's in a sewer, she collects the ksuba, right? This is something that we discussed in great length, that with nesuin, she goes out of the rishus of the baal. Is memela of the father, so I said. And is memela both the chi of misa for her and her loss of ksuba are hers. Hence, Rav Yosef says, Kim Lev Nirami. Rav Andaf Yud is going to apply the principle of misa lezeh v'tashlum lezeh, because when these eidim testify about an arusa, then they're trying to be master the father of the ksuba, because the one who owns the ksuba during the suin is the father, is the father, like he owns everything that she has. All her dini mamonis belong to her. That's called binurei beis avir. Okay, fine. So now let's see where we're going with this. He says upoligad rava. You see, I'm a little bit bothered why he has to say Poligad the Rav. It's Poligad the Rav Yosef as well. Okay, Rav and Rav Yosef. I don't know why he leaves out Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is on Daf Tes, so he gets Chud Kedima. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, he says Poligad the Rav. The Opeka Ploni Ba Albas Ploni Vahuzmu Nerog Mishalman Maman, because that's after what? After Nesuin. And I'm sorry, that is during Erisin. And if it's during Erisin, then who owns the ksuba? The father owns the ksuba. Pirish mamon labas sharatzu lahafsid la ksubasa unefashus lezeh. I don't know if Tosis is working with Rashi or without Rashi. Unefashus lezeh sheomer shebal leha. Okay, I don't know. Maybe Tosis doesn't have this understanding of Rashi. In any event, Rashi, the bottom line is establishing a machlokas between Rav Ashi here in Masechta Ksubas and Rava in Masechta Sanhedrin. And Rava in Masechta Sanhedrin is going to say that what? Ploni Bob, Sharatsu, I don't know, he says Lahafsid La Ksubasa, Fashis Lazer.
They're two different people.
Oh, I see. He's talking about the Boel. Oh, now I understand. In other words, the Edom are not only testifying against her, but they're also testifying against him, whoever he is. I mean, I didn't know that they necessarily recognized him or they testified. He's learning that they testified. So now we have two Chiyuvim. We have Nefashos and we have Mamonos. The Nefashos is to the Boel, and the Mamonos is to her. This is not Rashi, as far as I can tell. But okay, fine. So now what we're saying is that we suspend the principle of Kim Lev the Rabbani. Well, that's against Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi is applying Kim Lev the Rabbani, despite the fact that it's Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh. The Ein Nira, the Ichash of Achilas Truma Ukriyas Shirayim Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh Im Kein Tikshi Le Rava. So he's saying the following: that if you can apply the principle of misal lezeh v'tashlum lezeh to the case of zar shochal truma, then we should apply it even in the case of Hidlikas HaGodesh B'Shabbos. Right? Why is it that the owner of the Godesh should suffer a loss and not be able to be compensated for his loss of the Godesh simply because this guy burnt down his haystack on Shabbos and therefore he's Chayav Misa for Shabbos? Why not apply the principle of Misal Lezev and Tashlum Lezev, or Nefashis Lezev and Mamon Lezev, whatever you want to call it? And according to Tosis, Rashi is at fault here, because Rashi is the one who applies this principle of Mamon Lezeh V'Nefashos Lezeh to the case of Zar Shachol Truma. And Rashi therefore assumed, or concluded, that Rav Ashi rejects this principle. Now Rava accepts that principle and will suspend the operation of Kimleib the Raminei if there are two different victims. And if there just happens to be a coincidence of those two chiyuvim, which is nefashis lezeh u'mam lezeh. So Rashi is applying that to the case of zar shachol truma mishalo. What's the difference between zar shachol truma mishalo, etc., and the case of madlikas kedisha shel chavero? And the problem is, says Tosfos, that it's all Rava. Rava is the one who says that if it's misa lezeh, the tashluma lezeh, or mom lezeh, then we suspend kimlei v'ramine, and yet Rav is the one who has to explain the Mishnah in Bava Kama of Madlikas Gedisha Ve'Potimnei Shenido Menafsho. That's also misa lezeh mishum Shabbos v'tashlum lezeh mishum Gadish. And if Rav accepts that, I mean, he has no choice, I guess, because it's a Mishnah, then how can you square that with Rava in the case of Zar Shachol Truma Mishalo, where we're going to suspend the principle, according to Rashi, Rashi and Rava, right? We're going to have to suspend the principle of Kimlev the Ramine, and he's going to have to pay for Tashlume Shirayim, for Tashlume Nezikin. So why is it that in the case of Madlikas Gedisho, he doesn't pay for Tashlume Nezikin? Do we have it? There's a lot of mathematics here. Do we? Yes? No? Maybe? Do you want to go over the mathematics one more time? Rashi claims that the Baal HaShita, whoever he is, we'll fill in the names in a minute, who holds Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh, meaning we suspend the principle of Kimleim Nerabinei, in a case where the Nefash is going this way, a moment is going that way, And therefore we're going to be mechayiv him for tashlum. And Rashi says that in the case of zar shachol truma mishalo v'kar shirayim shel chavero, he would have to pay. Why would he have to pay? Because what difference does it make? As far as the tashlum, what difference does it make that he also incurred a chiyuv misa because he ate truma? That's totally irrelevant. So Rashi is applying the principle of Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh in the case of Karashirayim, of the case of Truma. Correct? And therefore we're going to say that according to that Madi Omar, there's no Kimlev Rabin, which means that the Baal HaShirayim could collect. Again, our sugya has Ravashi. Ravashi is of the opinion that if it's Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh, you don't apply the principle of Kimlev Rabin.
Right.
And therefore, you do apply the principle of Kimlev Rabinei. Therefore, hence Ravashi says he's parted from Dmei Shirayim, Dmei Nezikin. But the other Madi Omar, and we'll right now identify him as Rava. Why do we identify him as Rava? Because Rava is the one who says that we suspend Kimlev Rabinei in the case of the father losing his ksuba, even though the Isha is going to be put to death. And that's because there's no Kimlev Rabinei in the case of Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh. So Rashi says that sheet is against our Ravashi. Meaning that Rava would hold against Ravashi, and he would assume that the Baal HaShirayim does have recourse to collect compensation. Even though it's, despite the fact that it's Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh. But how is Rava going to interpret a Mishnah in Bava Kama of Amad L'Kedisha Shechavero Potter Shekem Mischai B'Nafsho, that we apply Kimlev the Rabinei even though L'Chor it's Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh. I mean, what the Misa is because he ate the Kohen, the Kohen's Truma, and the Tashlum is because of Kar Shirayim Shechavero. So what's Rava going to do with this Mishnah? Ella says Tosfos al karchach chashiv misa v'tashlum li echad. Why? Now, these are the key words. Hoil v'lo v'schayev misa b'shvil adam. Now, when do we apply the principle of kim leiv the rabine? That's if he's chayev misa because of a vein adam l'chavero, because what he wanted to meet out to his friend. Or maybe he succeeded in doing so. And then at the same time, he ripped his shirt. Right? He put the knife into his thing and he ripped his shirt. So it's, that's called mamalizeh v'misalizeh. Why? Because it's the same victim who's claiming both misa and mama, both of which were terribly, you know, evilly meted out to the same person. Now, let's say you have a chiv misa which has nothing to do with a person at all, and at the same time you incur a chiv mama to someone. That's not considered misa lezeh v'tashlum lezeh. Let's read it again.
Gaddish.
Oh, so in the case of the Gaddish, the reason why he's potter is because this is not two different victims. When do we apply the principle of misa lezeh v'tashlum lezeh when there are two different victims? Do you follow? Let's say, for example, here's a good example. While he was killing Reuven, he ripped the shirayim of Shimon. In such a case, he would have to pay. That would be misa lezeh u'mamon lezeh. Why? Because there's two ben adam l'chaveros over here, right? There are two victims. They're both human beings. But if there's an overlap between a victim who's a human being and violating one of the Torah's precepts, which is ben adam l'makom, then in such a case we're going to apply kim leiv d'rabbeinu. So therefore, madlik kedisha of Shabbos, which is a violation of Shabbos, he pays damages. I'm sorry, he does not pay damages. I'm sorry, I apologize. He does not pay damages. Why? Because that's kim leiv d'rabbeinu. Now, if he would be chayav misa because he killed somebody, and at the same time he would injure somebody else, he would damage someone else, then in such a case he would have to pay damages, and we would suspend the principle of kim leiv d'rabbeinu.
If he does damage to the same person he killed,
right? Exactly.
He'd be potter.
In such a case, he'd be potter. Right. Such a case, he'd be potter. But in what case do we say that he's chayev and we suspend kim leiv d'rabbeinu when there are two different victims, but both have to be human beings? If there's one chiv misa that comes b'bein adam l'makom, then we're going to apply kim leiv d'rabbeinu, and that's not a violation. That doesn't irritate the principle of misa lezeh v'tashlum lezeh. Hence, Rav Ashi here in our sugya would be l'kuli alma. Not the way Rashi says that Rav Ashi is against the sugya of misa lezeh v'tashlum lezeh. So let's go back to Rav on Daf Yud. Rav on Daf Yud is talking about a case, I'm going to Rashi right now, going to a case of an Arusa. So even though she's going to be put to death, nevertheless he has to pay the Av for the loss of the Ksuba. Right? And what happened to Kim Leiv d'rabbeinu? That's because there are two human victims. There's one human victim, which is the Isha, the Nara, and then there's another human victim, which is the father. He's going to lose his Ksuba, which again has a market value of Lama Zogin 150. So now we have the following case of misa lezeh v'tashlum lezeh, where you impose upon the edim, impose upon the criminal both chiyuvim, and you don't apply the principle kim leiv d'rabbeinu. When do we say that? When there are two victims, right? So what are the cases of two victims? That's going to be the case of Ksuba, if the father has rights to the Ksuba, and they're testifying to put her to death. Do we have another case? I mean, we gave a case, we made up a case, but in terms of the sugyas, let's just see, we have Rava, and then we're going to say that there's no kim leiv d'rabbeinu, and we have, what else? Is there anything besides, let's see, so Rava, Rav is going to say that what? That he has to pay the Baal. Or the Edom have to pay the Baal. I'm sorry, the Edom have to pay the Av. The Edom have to pay the Av. Why is that? because it's mama lezev and nefashas lezev. That's the only case we have. Just one second. For some reason, I suspect that we're missing another case here. Let's just see. Mother, you see, she was talking to Shabbos. But plenty who's new. Nevagim umeshalmin mama. Yeah, that's going to be rova. Let's hefsei ksuba lezev and nefashas lezev. So far, I see that that's the only case. If I'm wrong, please correct me. Now, let's take a look over here on page Kuf Pe. And you'll see this on the bottom right. Mashma midivrehem, the last line on the right. Shemevarim Shitas Rashi Dehatam Dechashiv Hocha Misa Lazeb Betashlum Lazeb Eino Mishum Shatruma Shalo Vi Eino Shelbal Ashirayim Vilakach Mikri Nefashis Lazeb Dechiv HaMisa Lo Bolo Mishal Chavero Ela hageder b'zehu dechol heicha shechiv misa hu b'shvil shum adam v'davish. Oh, he actually calls it benon lechavero b'ayin shen ischayev mamali oso adam ischashiv mamen nefashis lechad. And then we apply kim le'rami aval kishachiv misa hu l'shamayim kigon v'achilis trum edol ischayev misa b'shvil shum adam ela gal l'shamayim mikri. The chiyuv mamonu mishum kriya shirayim is a, which is beinon lechaver, is afilu begavna de hatruma vashirayim heim shel adam echad. Fashiv mamon leze unefashis leze shum de chiyuv misa hi lashamayim v'chiyuv mamon lechaver. I don't understand, how is he answering the question from Madlikas Gedisho? Shiv Misu Lashamayim Kigombachilus Truma Lashchai Mishum Mishum Adam El Ra Lashamayim Mikri is Vechiv HaMomen Hu Mishum Kriyas Hashirayim. Oh, here's the key line, I think. Afilu Begavna Deha Truma Vashirayim Heim Shel Adam Echad.
What's the case?
Ischashiv Mamon Lezeh Unefashis Lezeh. Wow, this seems to be totally different than what we were saying. I'm just going to go over this one more time because I think he caught me with a whole radically different understanding of the sugya. Who's he quoting here? Yud? Some Shita Mekubetzes, I think. If I'm not mistaken. Let's see. Mashmi Devarim Shemavarim Shitas Rashi Deatam Dechashiv Hacha. Hacha means in Truma. Misa Lazer Vitashlumin Lazer, which would mean that he should pay up the Shirayim. He should pay for the Shirayim.
Doesn't Rashi
potter
from
that? The Gemara itself says he potter from Shirayim, and Rashi's trying to say that no, you should really pay for Shirayim if you hold Misa Lezeh V'Tashlum Lezeh. But here's where he confused me. He says, Eino Mishum Shatruma Shelo V'Eino Shel Bala Shirayim.
Two different people.
So let's say, here's an interesting case. Which he intimates. He doesn't spell it out, but he hints at it. Let's say that one person owns Truma, and he also owns the Shirayim. And now you eat the Truma. So you really owe him a double, in Mamonist terms, you owe him a double payment. You have to pay him for the Truma, And you should have to pay him for the shirayim, correct?
In person.
Right, so in this case, I thought that we would say, Kim Levi the Rabbi. So what's he saying?
Yeah,
that
he says it
would be Kim Levi the Rabbi?
The Shamayim, the Chir Mamon, the Chadero.
Tam de Choshev Hocha, Misol, Zevet, Tashlim, Zevet. Ainu Mishum Shachum Shalovin, Shalbal Shirai.
Because of two different people, it's because of the Shemayim. That's why it's my Kimlay applies.
That who's receiving these penalties? Shemayim is receiving one, and a person is receiving the other.
Ain between the Foshes Luzer. Again, I think the word eno here is confusing. You know, he's giving you a whole scenario and he's saying it's not right. Am I right? It's like the minus sign, right? Eno mishum shachum shalo the eno shal bala shirayim. In other words, the truma belongs to him, right, to himself, rather than the bala shirayim. And therefore, it's nefashis lezer dechiva misa lo balo mishel chaver. You know what? For the time being, let's put this in the background. Let's start from the word ella. Do you see that on the third line?
Yeah.
Because he's rejecting some possibility here, and maybe when we see which possibility he accepts, it'll be a little easier for us to go back and see what he's rejecting. If I'm right, I don't know. Ela hageder bazehu dechol hecha shachiv misa hu bishvil shum adam idover shebein lechavero is im nischayev mamon lioso adam. So the chiv misa is because of this oso adam. And the tashlumin is for the osodom. So is that the same as what we were saying? Let me just go over what we were saying. Right, there's one person and one victim, and then we're going to apply the principle of kim levi the rabbi. That's called mamon and nefashos lechat. So far, this part sounds exactly like what we were saying. I don't know about the eno part. Avuk shechiv ha-misa Hula Shamayim, Kagon Achilles Truman, Oshai Bismishol Shonodom.
It's not Misa's based in.
El Ral Shamayim decree is Chiv HaMomon, Humishum Kriyas Shirayim, which is Beinodom Lechavero. So it's not the same as the Chiv Misa, which is La Shamayim, right? But rather, it's a chiv mama because of kriya shirayim. Here's the punchline: afilu begavna da truma vashirayim el shel odom echad. That's irrelevant. It's chashe bavul zeh unefashes zeh mishum chiv misa l'shamayim. The chiv mama l'chaver. It's beinon l'makom beinon l'chaver. It doesn't matter one iota who owns the truma. Let me say it a different way. It doesn't matter one iota if the Bala Shirayim happens to also be the Bala Truma. Do you follow? That wouldn't make any difference. Why? Because the Chiv for Truma is not a Bein Adam L'Chavero Chiv. That's a Chiv L'Shamayim. And if it's a Chiv L'Shamayim, then it's considered Mamal L'Zev U'Nefashis L'Zev. Mishum dechiv misi l'shamayim chiv mamoni l'chavero. So in such a case, he would be chayev. He'd be chayev to pay for the shirayim. Why should he be chayev to pay for the shirayim if he's chayev misa for eating the truma? And the answer is because the chiv to truma is la shamayim, and the chiv to pay for the shirayim is beinodom l'chavero. And in such a case, we're going to say chashiv mamon l'zeh u'nefashos l'zeh, and according to one man the omer, we're going to suspend, I should say, the principle of Kimlev the Rabbi.
And if it were Mitzvah based in, then we wouldn't say that.
Why would it change if we, I didn't follow you. I mean, I assume that we're equating now Misa to Misa's Bez. You want to make a distinction?
Well, when he says Mitahi Lashamayim, I thought that meant that Ochel Truma is Mitavide Shamayim, as opposed to
destroying Mrs. someone, Shirayim.
No, Mrs. Bezdin. Answer your question.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would it make it identity why catch?
That's what he seems to be saying.
Really?
That it's Shamayim.
I thought Shamayim means that it's not Benon Lechavero, which would be true even in the case of a Chiyuv Misa. So, I don't know. Okay, Rabbi, so let's leave this for the time being, because I see I need a lot more work on this. When I first read it, I guess I was fooling myself. So we neither will try to pick this up even tomorrow or another time. But let's try to finish up what we started with regard to that Rabbi Kivega. So that's going to be, just give me a second, on page Kufmem Aleph. So we're talking about the case of Lo Matzi La Dure, and we're talking about a case where the Nitchav commissioned the Tochev to shove this Trumo or this Chelev down his throat. And the Gemara is going to claim that in such a case, there's no Kimlev the Rabbine. And why is that? Because, at least according to the Ritzvah, he was already Chayev as a Gazlan the moment he decided that he's not coughing it up. That's called Matzi Ladurin. The Aritzba Svirulei, the Afal Pishlo Asa Shum Maisa Nasa Gazlan. So there are two Chidushim here in the Ritzba. One Chidush is that since he didn't do, despite the fact that he didn't do any action, he still Kona B'Kinyan Gzela B'Fiv, and that's because he decided that he doesn't want to return it. The second Chiddush of the Ritzvah is that even though the first person, the Tochev, he stole it, there could still be another Gzela. In other words, the Ochel could still be Chayev as a Gazlan on something that was already stolen. So you have two people, both of whom are Chayev as Gazlan. That's what comes out according to the Ritzvah.
How can that be the Messias?
In other words, I'll call him Shimon. I hope that doesn't confuse anybody by calling him Shimon. But Shimon actually took someone's truma. He took someone's chelev.
So he's the Gazan.
He's the Gazan. Now he was commissioned by someone else to put it into his meaning the second guy's mouth. We'll call him Reuven's mouth. So according to the Ritzvah, in such a case, Reuven, if he decides not to cough it up, that's called Lo Mahadele, he's Chayev as a Gazlan. And there are two Chidushim, because he didn't do a thing, right? He's Chayev because he decided not to cough it up. And number two, he's going to be Chayev as a Gazlan for the same object that's already stolen. Again, you'd have to assume Lotus Yashua Bailim and all that stuff in the middle. This is all before Rabbi Kivega. Now we get to the Ri.
Yeah, Gonim and Agana was talked to.
I don't know. Maybe Gzel is different. I don't know. You have to really study this. But he's saying that both could be Chayim. All right. So if you take a look for a minute, Rabbi, on the left column, he says, I am Benesivis, so Chiyaf Midive Aritzvah, Da Gonev Menaganov. Right? No, wait a minute. I skipped a few words. Shalok Yedivrei HaKtzos. You, Rabbi, are the Ktzos here. And we'll play this out as a little bit of a skit. Right? So you're going to... What is it called?
Role playing.
Right? You'll play the role of the Ktzos. So the Ktzos says, Hagonim v'neganav enu nasa ganav. Afilu l'schayev ba'onsen. And the Nesivus is saying that this Ritzvah is against the Ktzos. Why? Because both the Tochev and the Nitchav are both Gazlonim on the same piece of Truma. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go with the Ktzos, then we're going to have to introduce a whole new concept here. And we had a long discussion about this, that the reason why the Ochel should be Chayav is not Midin Gazlon, because the Ktzos says you can't be a Gazlon if there already is a Gazlon, but Mitam Mazik. Now, if you're going to talk about Mitam Mazik, as we discussed at great length, you have to be mafsid the object completely out of the orbit of the world. And that's going to be a problem, because the Gemara is assuming that he's already chayv at an earlier stage before he's chayv Misa for eating the Truma. Well, if you're talking about a Mazik, a Chiv Mazik is absolutely in sync with the Chiv of Zoros. Because in both cases, we need to get this object out of the world, which means Bliya. So again, if you're understanding the structure of the Nesivus as an attack against the Ktzos, number one, he's saying that the Ritzvah is against the Ktzos because the Ritzvah is assuming that the Ochel is Chayav as a Gazlan. And again, there's an additional Chiddush in this Ritzvah that he didn't do any Mice in his Chayav. But let's just talk about the fact that he could be Chayav as a Gazlan after there was already a Gzela. And that's against the Ktzos, because the Ktzos says that there's no Ganav in a Ganav. But then we have to ask another question, and that's a real kash on the Ktzos. How does the Ktzos get understand our sugya? If there already was a Gazlan, why would the Ochel be Chayav? Look, or you have only one choice. He can't be Chayav as a Gazlan, he's only Chayav as a Mazik. Well, at the moment he's Chayav as a Mazik, that's the very moment he incurs the Chiyuv Misa for Bliya, when he takes it out of the orbit. What do we say? We called it to traverse that boundary between lo matzila, between matzila duri and lo matzila duri. That's exactly when he's chayev for achilas truma, and he's chayev misa b'dei shemayim. Hence, we should have a principle of kim leim derabmi. That's a real problem in the Ktzos. Shari benidon didan arishon tochav lepiv v'nasa gazlan. We come gam hasheni mischayev midin gazlan. Kishem Munach Befiv, that means according to the Ritzvah. To be Din Mazik, Yevshel Chayva Kolzman Sheyochol Lahadre. In the case, the Gemara is saying very well that in the case of Mazik, I shouldn't say the Gemara is saying very well, I should say the Nesivus is saying very well, that in the case of Mazik, he's only going to be Chayav after it's Lo Matzila Dure. Right? When are you chayav a mazik, and only when it's lo matzila duri? So he has to actively, according to the Ktzos, take it over that threshold and get to the point of lo matzila duri. Well, lo matzila duri equals bliya, which equals achiv misa, which equals kimla d'ravine, and therefore we're really stuck. The advantage here of the Ritzvah is that if you grant the premise of the Ritzvah that it could be two gazlonim on the same object. And the second understanding of the Ritzvah, the Chiddush of the Ritzvah, that by intellectually deciding that you're not returning to this object to its rightful owner, you become a Gazlan. So if that be the case, we understand the Gemara. That the Gemara is saying, Nahader, and if he doesn't cough it up, even though he hasn't done a thing, he becomes a Gazlan. So you'll ask me two kashas. How can he become a Gazlan when he hasn't done a thing? Where's the Maisig Zela? And then the second kash you'll ask me is, how can it be a Gazan on something that's already stolen? And here we have a double Chiddush of the Ritzvah. Number one, you can be Chayv as a Gazan without a Maisa. Number two, you can be Chayv as a Gazan even in a case where, lost a Maisa, even in a case where it's already been stolen. Did I get that right? Right, so again, two chidushim of the Ritzvah. Number one, there was no Maisa, and number two, he's a Gazlan liacher gzeila. It's a Gazlan instead of saying ein gneva acher gneva, we're going to say yesh gzeila acher gzeila.
But swallowing is a Maisa. Given that it was
he's chayav even before that. He's chayav because he decided not to cough it up. At that moment, he made that decision. He's got it in his chatzer. Because a pair is a chotzer, and he's going to be din kinyan gzela, and he's going to have to pay for it. When is he chayv misa? That's when he swallows. But now, right now, he's not swallowing, and that's great because that's exactly what the Gemara is trying to point out. that either Matzil Adurin Nahadre, and if he doesn't cough it up, he's chayv ready then, even way before the Blia. And the Ritzvah is going to apply that logic, and he's going to be chayv even without a Maisa, because he makes a Kinyan Gzela through his Chatzer, even without a Maisa. And number two, there is a Gzela, Liachar Gzela. There is a Gazla, Liachar Gazla. Well, what's the problem, Yosef? I think it's so much pretty good.
He's being mafsid this truma once he's fooling around with it in his mouth.
He doesn't. He's frozen. He hasn't done a thing. His dentist gave him a shot of Novocaine. Yeah, he can't do a thing. He's partially frozen. That's not what Novocaine is. But anyway, you know what I mean. And already at that frame, when he decides that he's not doing anything, because he has full intention to swallow it, at that moment already, he incurs a chiv gazlan, according to the Ritzvah. When is he going to incur a chiv misa? When he decides to swallow it and cross that threshold to lo matzi laduri, through blia. Hence, we don't have kim lebin ramin, there's no bin, which is very good, because that's Gemara's shri v'kayim. How can it be? Now, if you're going to go with the ketzos, that there's no such thing as a chiv gazlan liachar gazlan, then the ochel could only be chayv as a mazik, which would only apply if you cross the threshold and he makes it into lo matzi laduri, because that's when the object is nifsad min ha'olam. Well, at that point, he's chayv mishum zar shochel truma, and hence we should have kimle bin ramine with a perfect sink. So the ktsos now is getting us a bit of a run for our money. That's what we have here. Now, Rabosai, we have to finish up what we started yesterday, and that's here on Tuf Mem Ches. So I apologize that we're jumping around a little bit, but you know, this is called finishing up, tying up loose knots, if you know what I mean. So let's go over the sugya of Abai. Abai says that if after the ones she dies, then there's no knas. And Abai derives this from a pasuk. And the alfusa was v'nosan lavi hanara v'lo lavi hamesa. Now Rava, operating with svara, suggests one possibility, and that's called misa osabagus. Misa osabagus, which means that even though she's only 12 and change, and she's not yet a bogeres, she is a bogeres, al pidin, meaning the father loses his rishus of benurei beisavia because she's dead. And here we have a stipler and a flaw. What they're going to say is that there's a fundamental difference between Abaye and Rav. Rav is operating midin svara, Abaye is operating midin gzeres hakosav yalfusa. And it's a phenomenal difference. It's an unbridgeable gap, minakotza lakotza. Because when you're operating mitzad svara, all you're doing is, by equating misa with badrus, is you're knocking the father out of the picture. You're not undermining the knas per se. The knas itself, let's talk to the ma'anes right now, and we're going to address him, we're going to tell him, Mr. So-and-so, you're going to pay the knas. You're not going to pay it to the father because she's a bogeris. Because miso sabagis. But you will pay the knas. Who are you going to pay it to? To the yarshim of the isha. Because whatever zchuyot really she would have, because a bogeris collects her own knas, she now bequeaths to her heirs. Hamzulung Abaye. And Abaye wants to go a step further. Abai wants to say, "Avigzeres hakosav in the din of knas, that the din of knas is liavi hanara v'nosan lavi hanara." And here he's not a vi hanara; he's a vi mesa. Forget about whether it makes bagrus or not. That's only going to confuse you, say Abai, because as soon as you hear the word bagrus, then you're going to assume that we're just knocking the ball out of the court, but we still have a chi of knas, and that's going to be transferred over to the yarsh in the case of mesa. No. That's not what's going on, says Abaye. Leave out the word bagrus here. Forget it, she's an arach, call it whatever you like. But since the Torah says Levi Hanara, which means Chaya, Velo Levi Hanara Mesa. So in this case, there's no Venosan. There's no Knas. Right? The entire theme of Knas is inherent in the word Venosan. And who is this woman who engenders a Chiyuv Venosan? She is a Chaya, not a Mesa. Right? There's an Aviya Nara and not an Aviya Mesa. So now we're in trouble. Why? Because the Gemara says, Milsa de Pshita la Baye, mi Boile la Rova. Which means that Rav accepted Abaye in one side, which is the side of Misos and Bagus. That's not really accurate. Because, in truth, even if you hold like Rava, that Misos and Bagus, there is a Chiyuv Knas. Abaye is saying something much more far-reaching. There is no Chiyuv Knas. And Abaye has the chutzpah, the audacity to say such a thing, because he has Xeris HaKosov in his back pocket. So if you take a look in the top left column, which is what we finished up yesterday, he says that Yesh Lomar, it's about four lines down, he says, Da'achikomer milsa de pshita le'abaye mitzad ha'svara misa osa bagus yishmahachi osi kol ha'mifta le'gamre. Very interesting svara, which I don't fully comprehend, but he says there are two shlavim. You know, you have to start with one principle, that we get rid of the father, and once we get the father out of the picture, he's no longer the driver's seat to collect knas. Then we can go one step further and completely undermine the knas based on the gzeiras hakos. So you need a svara, and then once you get to that svara, you go the next step and you build a gzeiras hakos of a yalfusa. But here we have a stipler and a flaw. Let's just go over it. I don't know, maybe gentlemen, you can do that for me. Those who were here yesterday. All right, I'll do it. No, all I'm trying to point out is that we all need a little bit of a chazor, but it's a beautiful shtickle Torah, and that is the following. He says that v'nosan lavi anar v'lo lavi bogeres is going to set the pattern here for making all sorts of analogies. When the Torah excludes a bogeres, it's excluding the father because his rishus is paka. You might ask, why do I need this pasuk, v'nosan lavi anar v'lo lavi bogeres? After all, he doesn't have any rishus over her once she's a bogeres. The answer is the knas is different because the ma'isa machai was done when she was still rishus aviyah. He's only collecting it later on, and if he waits too long, and it's already after she became bogeres, should we remove him therefore from the knas? I mean, if there was money in her bank account, he was zochin to that money when she was a nara. I'm not talking about money that comes in later. And that's the chiddush of the pasuk. That just like, to the same extent, that she leaves the rishus of the father with bagrus, with regard to all other dinim, whether it be Afaris Nedarim, or whether it be Maisiyah Deha, so too, she leaves the rishus of the father with bagrus as far as knas is concerned. That we're going to redefine knas as a classic case of chiyuv mamon, and the father is out of the picture. Oh, if that be the case, then let's talk about knas in the case of a nesua. After the bia, after the onus, she got married. Once she gets married, she's out of the rishus of her father. Hence, he doesn't collect the knas. Now we go one step further. What happens if she dies? Oh, if she dies, that also takes her out of the rishus of the father. So now the question that we ask is, so why does Abaye need Gzeiras HaKos v'Yalfusa? Why bother with Yalfusa? You've already decided, and you've already derived the conclusion that knas is like any other mamon, as far as the Av's rishus is concerned. You've already extended the case of Bogeres to the case of Nesua, and you've knocked out the Baal. So then we really want to go one step further now and knock off the Baal in the case of Mesa.
The Baal.
Now, I mean, say, if the Nara dies, then he no longer has Rishus over her, hence he won't be able to collect the Knas.
Even the father.
So why do I need a Gzeiras HaKosuv for the case of Mesa? Why not just fit it into the general pattern, that principle that says that once she leaves the rishus of the father, then he doesn't get the knas? Says the stipler, I have a chiddush here. Salkat, I would have thought that Misa is different from Bagrus and Nisuin. Because in the case of Misa, it's not that the Torah said that once she dies, you mafkir the Baal from his rishus over her. But rather, once she dies, there's no new money coming in. In other words, that's not called a din, it's called a mitzias. So therefore, I might think, and I might argue, that in the case of Mesa, there should be a rishus, a schus of the Baal of the Av, to collect her her knas. She's out of the rishus of the father. That's not really so. She's out of the rishus of the father for new things, right? Because he's never, he's mourning the loss of his daughter. But as far as all things are concerned, like knas, where the seeds were already sown while she was alive, that he, the father, should collect that knas. He continues to collect that knas even after she dies. And the reason is because we never really removed her from his rishus. We only said that she's mesa as far, leaves the rishus as far as new acquisitions are concerned. And now we're ready for that flaw. Now, Flaw says the following. If you read Abai carefully, he's saying that in the case of Mesa, there's a p'tur of Knas, which will affect the Ma'anis. The Ma'anis has good news. He doesn't have to pay the Knas. Legamre. Well, that doesn't make any sense, because we're saying that Mesa owes a Bagrus, which means she has the status of a Bogeris. If she has the status of Ogeres, then in the event that she dies, she will transfer her rights to Knas over to the Yarshin. So let's understand that flaw's kasha. How could the Gemara identify Abai and Rava? When I say Rava, I mean Miso Sabagrus. That's not so. Miso Sabagrus doesn't mean that the Ma'anis is part of Knas. It's just a question of directing the knas to the right address, into which bank account he should deposit the check for the knas. That's not what Abai is saying. Abai is saying potter. Abai is addressing the ma'anis and saying, under no circumstances will you have to be paying this knas. So the stipler comes up with the following. I'm sorry, the haflah comes up with the following. And the reason for that is because we're going to derive from this pasuk the case of Bogeres, the case of Nesua, and now the case of Mesa, because in all three cases, what's common is that there's no longer a shus of the father. However, Abai has what's called a krayasera. Because when it says when Asan Lavi Hanara, the Torah didn't have to use the word Hanara, could have left that out, or the Hay of Hanara. And if that be the case, the extra pasuk is taking me a step further. And that's taking me to the point at which there's no knas at all. It's not just a matter of bumping off the father, but it's mafkir the knas completely. Why? Because she's a mesa. Again, you have the technical problem that the Gemara uses the terminology of pshita leila baye. And that lechor is not pshita leila baye, because he's going way beyond Rava, according to that flaw, and was saying that the knas is paka, completely paka. Now, all this is very good if you hold other morish knas lebonov, because then we see clearly the sharp distinction between abaye and Rava that the flaw is trying to present, meaning that if we only operate with the svara of miso sabagrus, then the yarshim will now collect the knas, and that's against the bai who says that no, the knas is completely obliterated. However, let's say I hold that ain't other morish knas labonov. If ain't on the morish knas lebonov, then basically, if we, in the case of Mesa, the knas is going to be paid to our father. I'm sorry, I made a mistake in the calculation. the knas will not be paid to anyone, right? You remember this? Because mimonashah. The knas is not collectible by the father because miso sabagus, and she's a bogeris, so the father's out of the picture. Aye, but maybe she should collect her own knas, which obviously she can't do because it's posthumous. So the answer is, she'll bequeath it over to Yarshin. Comes along the toast and he says, "Eido the morish knas lebonim." So no one's going to force anybody to pay a knas. The father can't force and tovei the ma'anis to pay knas because he's totally out of the picture at this point. And she herself can't collect knas because she's gone. She's dead. Unless we let the yarshim come forward and let them collect and sue for knas. The answer is going to be Eino de Morish Knas Lebonov, Quintashit Satosus. And that means virtually it's impossible to collect the Knas here. So there's no difference between Abaye and Rava now. Because Abaye is saying that I have Xeris Akosta to tell me that the father doesn't pay Knas. I mean, so the father doesn't collect the Knas. And Rava is saying that miso sabagus, and in this case miso sabagus means there will be no knas. So virtually there's no difference between Abaye and Rava. Is that clear? Because again, if you hold Eino the Morish Knas Lebonov, you're not going to come up with any nafkamina whatsoever. And the knas will not be paid, period. Never will it be paid. So what we're up to now is the Rambam. This is Tofresh Pei Dalet. The Rambam says, "Ba'alel umesa, hareza potu min haknas." Why did the Rambam go out of his way to add these words, "min haknas"? And then he quotes the pasuk, "V'nasali v'yishanara v'lo lavi mesa." Now, the answer is that in lawsuits against the ma'anes, there are two dimensions. There's one knas, 50 shkolim kesev, and then there's another lawsuit for chavola. And in the case of chavola, we can force the ma'anes to pay what's called pagam and boshes. Oh, I'm sorry. Pagam, boshes, and tsar. A very important tsar, because that's also about the difference between onus and mafat. So in such a case, does the father have rights to collect pagam, tsar, boshes? So from the fact that the Rambam emphasizes potum in a knas, he's indicating that as far as the other tashlumei nezikin under the law of chavola, like tsar and boshes, there is no ptur. He has to pay for that. Now, what's going on over here? What does it mean, boshes subagam nosein lavia? After all, we had the pasuk of avia naravalo avia mesa. So the Torah says that with the death of this girl, the father's out of the picture, meaning he has no zchuyot in any sense or shape or form in his daughter's possessions because she left his rishus. Now, if that be the case, then why does the Rambam indicate that he, the father, could collect boshes, pagam, and tsar?
Because this happened when she was in his rishus.
Right. Okay, and what? He... you mean to say it's Mamon and Aknas? Is that what you... What are you referring to?
Yeah. Well, certainly these payments are Mamon.
No, I'm saying, is that what you want to say? Again, let's understand the question. The question is, once we have the Xeris HaKosuv, that the father's out of the picture, and he doesn't collect Knas, and that was Abaye, then why not assume that the father cannot collect Moshe's Pagam and Tsar as well? See a differentiate between Knas and Mamon? I don't know why he left out tsar. Okay, that doesn't matter. V'im isa de misa sabal mafkas.
Yeah.
Rishus ha'av. is the Rambam writes in Perek Beis Milchus Nara, De'echa shalo espika lamod b'din ad shebogra.
Doesn't it sound like the Rambam saying that she was nifteris at the time of the that he was bala?
Say it one more time, Alan. I'm sorry.
Doesn't it sounds like the Rambam is saying that the case is that she was nifteris during the bia?
No, I don't think we have to go that far.
The Rambam sounds like
the Rambam is quoting a pasuk. Asala avia naro, a naro velo avia mes.
No, I don't mean that from the pasuk. I mean from what he said.
I mean, that's the Shemar and the Ram. So the assumption I'm going to work with is that because she died, she left the Rishus of the father, mm-hmm. hence he cannot collect Knas.
And then he goes on to say the Boshev Tam, it Keshu le Knas.
Oh.
To the Mishas any times.
Via Misa, the Misa Baal, he afkas, the Yitzim Rishus Ha'am, Kibagrus, around Perk Beis, possibly the Hechashol, he speak Olam and Bedin, and Shebogra, Gama Boshev Gama Shalom. Yosef, this is a problem because your svar is correct, but the Rambam seems to say the opposite. Because look, the Rambam is saying, again, you have to look in the Rambam's lashon to make sure it's clear that even as far as boshes begam, the father is knocked off if she became a bogeris. Right.
And he puts them.
And that now's your line, your favorite line, which is really the only answer to your question. Meaning, your question is we should differentiate between Mamon
and Knas.
He says, no, we can't do that. The Bosh will become Iskish Ula Knas.
So the Mishas any times. So it's done.
Oh, the Imkain Yeshnaf Gemini Vindin said, Gam, Ligabi Bosh will become the Hecha Shemesa. Heim Shalom, Va'av Zocha Mimena Betors Yerusha. Im Yesh Labas Balchov, Heim Noptum Zom Yilu Dvorah. Mashma. Let me just give it one more shot. This is, you know, sometimes you're at the point of Yeyush and then all of a sudden you get a flash. So again, on the one hand, the Rambam seems to say that if she dies, then the Av will collect Boshes Supagam. Right? And on the other hand, the Rambam says that if she dies, if she's still alive, but now she became a Bogeres, then we're going to have to exclude. I think he's saying the following. That in the case of Mesa, the father is excluded from Knas. That's a separate halach in Knas. And the Rambam is reflecting the Shita of Abaye, that this separate halach is derived from Gzeiras HaKosov, because the Rambam says Shenemar. Now the fact that the father is excluded from Knas, that has no bearing on Boshes Upagam. Hence, the Rambam, the Deek, and the Rambam is that Boshes Upagam, the father, does in fact collect. But then we get to a case of Bogeris. And here the Rambam says that even Boshes Upagam, we're going to exclude the father. That's because the issue of Bogeris. One second. The issue of Bogeres means does she reacquire her rights as a result of this bia? Her rights as a result of the bia was number one, Knas, number two, Boshes Upagam. Now she's a Bogeres. Is therefore she collects everything.
She surely doesn't collect it if the father already collected it.
No, again, we're trying to differentiate between, there's a lechora steer in the Rambam. When it comes to Mesa, the Rambam says that the father could collect boshes of agam. When it comes to bogeris, the father is out completely, as far as even as far as boshes of agam. Why is that so? So what we're suggesting is that are we dealing with rishus ha'av or we're dealing with a separate gzeres hakosav and a p'tur? If we knock off the father based on a p'tur, then we haven't yet excluded the rishus of the father. So that in the case of misa, there's no reason why we should terminate the rishus of the father. There's a separate gzeres hakosav and knas that patters the ma'anes from knas. But as far as boshes of agam is concerned, that was already set in stone at the time that the father had his rishus over her, and if there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to collect.
Well, maybe some of it is not knas. Maybe we have to look at it two ways, that when she gets it, she would get it not as knas, she gets it as tashlum, payment for
right. But again, since this tashlumin was incurred during the time that she was Birshus Ha'av, namely when she was a Nara, that's called Boshes Begam, he has rights over that money. I don't care when he collects it, but he will collect it. And now, even though she died,
right,
she's still Birshus Ha'av, and those payments should accrue to the father. That's not a steer to the Rambam when he talks about a case of Nispagra, when she becomes a Bogeres. Once she becomes a Bogeres,
yeah,
then only she has the rights to sue for Knas. And if she has rights to sue for Knas, then she has rights to sue for Boshes Supagam. Why? Because she became a Bogeres. In the case of Bogeres, everything depends upon Rishus Ha'ah. So we're not going to differentiate between Knas and Boshes Supagam. It's all one indivisible package. Okay. We'll stop here. And let's just make a note where we got up to. The trouble is, I don't always find my notes. That's the problem. Oh, I just found my note for Wednesday. Very good. All right. So let's just see. So what is on page Kuf Mem Aleph? That's what I wrote a note for myself. Did we do Kuf Mem Aleph? Yeah, we did Kuf Mem Aleph. All right. So I got it right even without the note.
Yes.
Rabosai, what's more chomer? I was trying to rack my brains on this. Sfira or Bein HaMetzarim? For example, the question of music. If I show you in the poskim, that you don't listen to music during Sfira, is that a kal v'chomer that during Bein HaMetzarim you don't listen to music? Or fakert? Maybe we're more machmir in the Avelis for the 24 students than we are for Avelis Yeshana over the Churban when we're just starting that, you know, at the beginning of Tammuz. Or should we say just the opposite, that Avelus for Churban is more Chomer than Sfir, because Sfir is not really Avelus. The principle, again, to start from Shemos B'Tamas obviously is only a minute, but I'm just saying, whenever you start, whenever the kickoff is of this Avelus, that's a real Avelus.
Yeah, that's
not just in Sfira. I don't think that's real Avelus. In Sfira, we're talking about the death of Rabbi Kiva's Talmid. I'm not trying to minimize that, but that's not real Avelus. We don't have a halach of Avelus for the loss of Talmid. We have a halach of Avelus for the loss of the Churma.
And that's what I mean, that's the point.
I'm wondering. I'm thinking to myself, if I find in Poskim, when they address the question of what you're allowed or not allowed to do during Sfira, that music is out, then maybe with the Kal V'chomer I should apply it to Bein HaMetzarim. Or, for example, some poskim are mekil, okay, you can't listen to live music, but you're allowed to turn on the radio, or you're allowed to listen to what they call a disc, you know, what's it called, electronic music, whatever it's
not
called.
Live music.
And it's not live. So maybe in the case of Bein HaMetzarim, I want to be machmir even as far as electronic music. I'm not here to be machmir, I'm just talking lumdus, that's all.
Yeah, but there's
and the lumdus is that this is avelus, and you want to look for every opportunity that you can to express and manifest that avilus. So you're going to tell me, well, I'll be maker. Why? Because when the minhag was accepted, they didn't have electronic music. They only had live music, you know. Okay, that's a nice piece of oneness, but, you know, I would feel more comfortable if you would tell me I don't want to hear music, period. Why? Because I'm trying to initiate a kiyum of avilus. And it's going to be a long process to get to that. You know, you can't just jump into avilus for the Churban HaBayis by snapping your fingers.
Yeah,
so there's a process here that brings you step by step.
Yeah, right. But that has nothing to do with sphere, because sphere is not a din of avilus, it's a minig.
Yeah, it's a minig to commemorate a loss of Torah, which is a very valid minig.
All right.
But it's not the same as avilus.
That's right. It's not a din.
The reason I mention this is because I saw